pre-fire. Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning. It is 7:05, January the 18th, 2011. Welcome back to work, all you people. That half the country was off yesterday. Did you know that, Bad Bob?
Yeah, I noticed when I tried to make some phone calls.
You know why half the country was? It was almost all government workers, huh? It was. Half the country works for the government, I believe. So you had federal, state, city. You had banks. You had teachers. The teacher across the street whose little dog comes over and leaves me little presents was home yesterday. Anyway, it's going to be a great day today. 530-605-4567 is our studio hotline. And, of course, just join us on the chat line with KCNR1460.com and listen to us as we're streaming there. But, Bad Bob, good morning.
And good morning. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful day.
I think so. And speaking of beautiful days, here's Linda.
Wonderful to be back. Currently 55 degrees. It's great to be here.
Great
it's going
day.
To be mostly sunny with a high of 69 today. Hey, when I get in the mornings, I check my emails, and I want to share with you that at Tobacco and Brew today at 2 o'clock, there's going to be a last-minute special fundraiser. The good folks over at Tobacco and Brew. This is for a family who lost their home in a fire some time ago, and they found out at the last minute that their baby is turning 1 year old today, and they've been living in a hotel. So today at 2 o'clock, if you get a chance, go by Tobacco and Brew. I don't know the name of the family because it's very last minute. It was a customer of Shelley's that said that they put together an account at the North Valley Bank. And I suppose a much more will be unveiled today about that family. So, you know, I know we're a very generous community, and, you know, we're thinking about that.
We're going to be there today. At least I'll be there today. I know you've got a lot of things you're trying to catch up on, but we'll be there. Down there to, help out a little bit. But that's just another example of what Joel and Shelley do from Tobacco and Brew. And it's out there helping people. They don't have to do that, but they do it because they are just great community members. Let's go to the phone. Dave, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing this morning?
We're doing great.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It sounds like you're calling from the space shuttle.
Yeah, well, I could be. Hey, listen, I wanted to bring to your attention, I was driving down the road the other day, and a brand new garbage truck came the other way. I was at an intersection. This guy turns in front of me, and he's got a billboard on the side of his garbage truck. It's not filled yet, but there's a billboard on the side of the garbage truck. Brand new garbage truck. Ready garbage truck.
What did the billboard say?
It was blank.
So do you want to put "Let's sell it" on there?
Sell it or KCNR? Come on, let's do it.
Oh yeah, let's go. Let's put KCNR on that garbage truck. We can do that.
If they get to that place from us, they can bail out. Hey, you guys have just a beautiful day today. Hope everything goes good for you. We're laughing and scratching out here.
Well, you know, Indian, you're a great friend, and you know we love you, man.
So we'll see you. We'll hear from you Saturday morning at bright and early at 7 a.m.
Oh, you bet. No.
Do you have a lot of good deals going on?
Always. We always have good deals. You gotta listen in because we've got the deals and we've got giveaways, cheeseburgers and other things. Yeah.
Well, you know, I was in there the other day and your phone rang the whole time. You know, I was kind of like, wait a minute, I wanted to call and get a hamburger, but it was too late. I had like 12 other people got to it first.
Yeah, well, the early bird gets the worm, buddy.
Hey,
That's what Ernie says.
Yeah, well, you know what? Ernie's usually right.
Hey. Ernie is usually right, yes, sir. You guys have a great one, eh?
You bet, Dave. Give Ernie hugs for us. All right.
Linda.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to have to take a break here. We're going to come back. This is Carl and Linda Vought. Good morning on this very special 18th, oh my gosh, of January. We'll be right back. Wow.
Yeah. Okay, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
Carl's dancing over here.
Home of Free Fire Media, Carl and Linda Bott. You know what? I just have more fun than I should be allowed to do. 7:13 in the morning, January the 18th. It's going to be a great day today. Let's talk about something serious first. Record Searchlight, in its infinite wisdom, has allowed me to have a blog on Reading.com. It's called Time Under the Helmet, and what it is, it's me blogging about veterans' issues, events, topics that can concern veterans, but their veterans' families are, and this is veterans of all ages, from World War II up to our latest ones coming back. So if you go to Reading.com and you look up under blogs, you'll see us there. You'll see me there. Anyway, the part, though, is that I want it to be as a clearinghouse for people, too, for veterans' events, but also questions people have or things that you've seen. I won't be able to get to all of the facts because there's just so many of them. So I'm trusting people like John Kleckner and Bob Dunlap and Dave Lanford and so many others of the veterans to help me with this, is, you know, funnel stuff to me so I can make sure that we get as much information out, as much true information out. There's so much stuff that just flows, as everybody knows, through the internet that we get hundreds of emails a day that when we look at it, you know, then we go back and some that seem pretty interesting, you go back and you vet them, and you find out that it's not exactly the truth. It's close, but it's not the truth, or it's just so totally wrong that it makes you wonder how people would just take this and forward it on. Anyway, it's Reading.com, and it's the blogs, and it's called Time Under the Helmet. All right. Aren't you glad you don't live in Berkeley? Okay, I'm just going to read this, and I'm not going to make a comment on it. You are my friends. You that are listening to this, this is from Berkeley. The city council votes Tuesday night on setting aside $20,000 annually for gender reassignment surgery for city employees. Berkeley Health Insurance providers Kaiser and HealthNet doesn't pay for the procedure. The benefit would allow employees to collect the money before the sex change operation, which can cost more than $50,000. To receive the payout, employees would have lived as the opposite sex for at least 1 year and undergone hormone therapy. They also would have to work for the city at least a year. City Councilman Daryl Moore, who originally proposed the idea in 2007, tells the San Francisco Chronicle the benefit is what is just and fair for the transgender community. No comment. Okay. Today at 7:30, we're going to have some representatives for the Sober Grads. It's got nothing to do with that story, but I had to do something. Bad Bob is sitting over there making sign noises. And I'm not exactly sure are you in agreement with that there, Bad Bob, or is that just something that was just too much
words,
for you? Words failed him. Two things about the Record Searchlight. There was a headline today. Reading man accused of stabbing girlfriend found stuck in mud. Now, I'm not sure exactly that's what they wanted to say. Did this man, he's accused of stabbing a girlfriend because she was stuck in mud? Was it that he was mad at her because she was cutting across and she got stuck in the mud, so he ran over and stabbed her? Because that's what the headline says. Reading man accused of stabbing girlfriend found stuck in the mud. Well, she wasn't stuck in the mud. His car was when he tried to get away, as you read into the story. But I thought that the headlines were something that that you get occasionally in a Record Searchlight. They're pretty interesting.
Well, I just came out. The Shasta County may adopt a new phone system that would let residents call one toll-free number for 24-hour referrals to a host of community resources. Residents would call 211 to get connected to unemployment resources, children's services, and senior services, and more. It's kind of like 911. Instead of getting emergency services, you get a person on the other end to get information and referral to county services. It seems that there's been pledges and grants from the Mental Health Services Act and the California Endowment and other organizations to pay for the system. Not sure when it looks like that will be up, but we will keep you informed.
You know, Walmart. We had an article in the paper today, and I want to talk a little bit about that for North State residents. It was an editorial about announced closures of two stores in the Mount Shasta Mall and downtown storefront of California Decor. Now, we know the people from California Decor, and we're sorry to hear that. And then they've got two stores. One's a one I think was Anchor Blue or something like that. It used to be the one you used to work for. Anchor Blue used to be the anyway when you were getting when you were a model.
Miller's Outpost.
Miller's Outpost. And then the other one is names escapes me completely. Anyway, well. But it's another clothing store for women. And the fact is that it looks like it's not going to get much better because they're going to be making cuts in the budget. That's if, you know, if this gets through, that redevelopment cuts alone would eliminate a funding source that has pumped millions of dollars in the local construction economy over the years and has brought us features like Market Street Promenade, Big League Dream, Stillwater Business Park, and Hilltop Drive streetscape improvements. Now, some people may argue with you about some of those, but the bottom line is this, is it's we've had headlines in the Record Searchlight. You know, at one time, it was three stores shutting down. That was front page news in the Record Searchlight. At least it's not all of them aren't on the front page anymore. You know, some of them are working their way back to the local pages. But what about this? What about this, my friends? Is Redding so badly off? Is the North State so badly off that we haven't had one business start in a year or in the last couple of years that's still here? Aren't there businesses out there that have succeeded? And when I say succeeded, they've made it through that first year. I'm sure there are. Why don't we hear about those? Why don't we have something from the Record Searchlight? You want to do something about everything that's closing and doom and gloom there, RS? Why don't you talk about the things that are success around here? And if you have, please send me an email so I'll know about it so that I can talk about it. Because we are not dying in Redding. This town, this part of the country has a great future if it just keeps pushing. If it doesn't give up, if it doesn't roll over, yes, it's tough right now. But we have some of the most beautiful country in the state and probably in the United States up here. And this was written by, you know, Mark Beecham the other day was quoting some guy that said, and it was a great article. Mark was not going all doom and gloom. He said, it's tough, but look what we have here. Why aren't we going out after that? Well, we're going to have Mark LaSalle of the Economic Development Corps will be here next Monday. We're going to ask him about what can we do to keep pushing and get this going, but it's not all bad. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Good morning. Welcome. This is Carl Lindebot. 54 degrees this morning, 7:24. Are you just joining us? Carl's on a roll here in case, strap it on. Mostly sunny today with a high of 69. The weather's always brought to you by Ensemble Vineyards, February 13th. Candace Lavolsi will be out there with two beautiful Valentine's Day brunch seatings. 474-5546. Get your reservations now. It's five-star cuisine with Chef John Stadelli's special. Special meals. In fact, we're going to have John on very soon here.
Absolutely.
And you don't want to miss going out to Ensemble. It'll be a beautiful day and a beautiful event. 474-5546 for your reservations. Where are you?
Well, I'm right here, but from the Washington Times comes an article today. And it's talking about NASA's James Hansen. And he talks about how when we had our new elections, we had our elections back in November, we made some choices here in our lives. One, they're addressing right now the health care bill. And if you look at all the polls, and they're pretty much split up, everybody says it should be changed. You know, there's some people say throw it all out. Some people say leave it the way it is. Those are about the same. Others say let's get in there, change the things that need to be changed, and move on with it. But nobody says say it. Well, 20% say leave it just the way it is. It can't be left the way it is. It's going to completely destroy our economy. But one of the other things that happened was we also voted pretty much to not get into this climate-changing bill that limits carbon dioxide everywhere. The House, of course, in 2009, before the election, passed something. The Senate did nothing of the sort. And now the nation's most prominently publicly funded climatologist, Mr. Hansen, is really angry about this, blaming democracy and citing the Chinese government as the best hope to save the world from global warming. He also wants the economic boycott of the U.S. sufficient to bend us to China's will. It seems like James Hansen's anti-democracy rants were published while he was on a November junket in China. They didn't get much attention until recently. On January 12th, a blogger put them on his climate debate or climate depot site. Within hours, the post went viral. In a former life, the blogger was a chief global warming researcher for Senator James Inhofe from Oklahoma. According to Mr. Hansen, compared to China, we are the barbarians with fossil money democracy that now rules the roost, making it impossible to legislate effectively on climate change. Unlike us, the Chinese are enlightened, unfettered by pesky elections. Those pesky elections. Anyway, you know what? I'm not going to get any further than this. But this is these are people you're paying. That's where you don't want to know where your dollars are going to. You want to know where your tax dollars are going to, my friends. Is it out there building our economy? Is it out there getting the lumber industry back up, the fish up? Is it going doing that? No. We're paying Mr. Hansen to call us, you know, calling China to to drag us to our knees to take our fossil money democracy and destroy it.
I want to know how this moron ended up in the space agency.
Well, you know,
shouldn't
what?
He be thinking about space?
I haven't
things?
Even gotten into the committee, the military committee for cultural diversity. All right, the military committee for leadership diversity at the Pentagon. Now, when do you think this was started? Oh, wait a minute. How about 2 years ago? See who got elected? Obama. So I talked a little bit about that yesterday, talking about, hey, let's open up all the jobs to women. Let's open up those infantry, those special force jobs, those, you know, all those kind of jobs. Have you ever thought that maybe they, that the women in the military don't want those jobs? Anybody ever thought of that? I know it's tough, but anybody ever thought of that one? And in fact, in a later show, and probably on the blog, I'll bring part of this up, because I actually looked up the committee, and there's a Marine General officer on there that I know. Is a fine officer. I'm just wondering, is how does this come up, and did it really say that? Because I read the issue paper. I'm not exactly sure that's exactly what it said. So I've got an email into him to figure that one out. So how would you like to do this? How about if you were traveling from Utah or Arizona or any place that you have the right to have a legal firearm, and a late flight landed this Utah gun owner in jail for 10 days after he got stranded in New Jersey with an unloaded firearm he illegally checked with his luggage. Anyway, the Supreme Court could decide Tuesday whether to consider letting Rebel sue the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey for arresting him on illegal possession of a firearm in New Jersey and for not returning his gun and ammunition for more than 3 years. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. When we come back, our guests will be the Sober Grads, and we'll be talking about their organization and why it is so important to our local children. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. And Carl and Linda Bott, good morning, 7:34, January the 18th, 605-4567 is our phone line. That's 530 for all you out-of-staters. And KCNR1460.com, you can listen to us while we're streaming, then hop in the chat room. We have a guest on the phone. Charles, good morning.
Good morning, Charles.
Yeah, good morning. Well, I get started with my point, you want to know the name of a business that's gone through its first year and is still going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're listening to it right now.
Well, that's true. You know what? But there's a lot more out there, Charles. I'm telling you, there are people out there fighting and scratching and kicking, and they're not giving up. They're not rolling over. You know, they're small businesses that are fighting. You know, that are in for the fight, and they're going to stay in the fight.
All right. To the point. Remember when RU was contemplating its rate increases?
Yeah.
A few months back, and Paul Hoosier swore that he wasn't, that RU was not going to be going to smart meters because they cited a $10 million or so capital expense.
Right.
Well, I had just been approached, well, not just myself, but others, last night by some people who identified themselves as being within the REU service area, who say that REU has put smart meters on their houses.
Well, I tell you what, I've had it wasn't REU that put a smart meter on my house, it was PG&E. They came up. And because I'd asked for them to check and see for a gas leak, and not only did they check the gas leak, and they were very polite and did a really thorough job, and they didn't find a gas leak at all, but they did find the fact I had an old meter, so they put a smart meter on that for me. Wasn't that nice of them? But it wasn't REU. Now, that's a good question. We can ask that to tonight at City Hall, because they're having that real important vote on Charter City. That's right. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but... in fact, thanks a lot, Charles, for jogging my memory, because tonight is the night that everybody needs to go down to City Hall, and tonight they vote on proceeding forward with the Charter City concept. Not voting for a Charter City, but just going forward with the concept. They have 15 of our fellow citizens go out there and see, can this work for us? Is this something that we may want? And then they're going to come back with a report, and then the city itself votes on whether we want to become a Charter City. That's tonight, six o'clock.
I mean, yeah, but going back to the REU thing, it sounds like Mr. Hoosier's got some explaining to do.
Well, that's, you know, somebody needs to ask that question. And we'll do that. We'll ask that question. Okay.
By the way, kudos to the Sober Grata group that you're going to be talking to in a few minutes. It sounds like... they're working for a good cause.
Well, Paula McCarley is right here right now, and
thank you, Charles.
We're going to be talking to her in just a second.
All right, goodbye.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Charles.
And it is true, we do have Paula McCarley in this morning that is talking about the West Valley High School 2011 Sober Grad. Welcome to the program, Paula.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So we're talking about Sober Grad is a countywide program put on by the California Highway Patrol and the Shasta County Chemical people. Tell us what's going on and how we can help.
Well, we have all been touched by Sober Grads in one way or another, and this is my fourth Sober Grad. I get to graduate after four children going through West Valley High School.
Wow.
Yay! But the committee... is in charge of selling certificates, and that's what the chemical people and the highway patrol, they promote us by stocks and bonds. And so if you have been asked to buy a stock in the program, that money, you buy a $100 certificate, and that money allows you an opportunity to win cash prizes. The first prize is $1,000, second prize is $500, and the third is $250. And that is all part of many high schools in our North State that participate. We are one of those high schools, and it's really important to buy those certificates because that's how the money is raised through the chemical people. That's how it gets divvied up through all of our high schools.
And that's how you have the party.
The
so they
Sober
can
grad
go
party,
to the
yes.
Sober Grad party and have this protection of, you know, making a fun evening where those kids can go instead of going out and partying. They can come to this place that is a fun evening where other like-minded kids and parents that have been involved in Stay Sober, Save Sober. Well, here's a wonderful statistic I do want to share with our listeners, that since 1985 there have been no fatalities since the inception of this, fatalities for graduates of high school. And we're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to cover some more statistics, and we're going to be talking with Paula McCarley. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460. Good morning! KCNR 1460, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on this beautiful Tuesday morning, currently 54 degrees, and we are talking with Paula McCarley.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry about that.
No problem.
I just wanted to make sure that I said your name right. And we are talking about the West Valley High School 2011 Sober Grad. Before we took our break, we were talking about that there is a certificate that if you buy for $100, that it's like a bond, and it goes towards all of the high schools, but most, you're very involved with the West Valley High School. This is called it's the Sober Grad Night Committee class. And it's you become a member, and tell us how you get these bonds.
Well, the children are supposed to be, I call them children, they're seniors. This is our fourth daughter, our fourth child graduating, and I participate in the committee. They go out and they solicit, but it can be done in a lot of creative ways. If you have four people that want to donate $25, four people can go on the certificate, and those four people have the opportunity to split the prize money. You could do a dollar from 100 people, and all 100 have an opportunity. So it's almost like a little bit of a lottery gamble, too, to be the winning. But West Valley's had some winning tickets come out of there, and so that's been exciting, too, to have some winners come out in the whole North State. But it's a $100 donation. It's tax deductible, and it has to be sold by a certain time. And then the actual drawing day is April 29th. The chemical people make the drawing.
Okay, and then, I think when we think about why are we doing something really to get something, or are we doing something that's almost as if this is a wonderful thing to get behind because we really are trying to make a statement with your donation.
Yes, and Sober Grad saves lives, and that's just been the hardcore facts because... Prior to starting this, there were many, many seniors that would go out to keggers, let's just call it what it is,
yeah.
or parties, and they would get drunk, and they would drive drunk, and they would have accidents. And since, like you stated, since the inception of the chemical people and Highway Patrol getting behind this and starting this program, there has been zero fatalities.
So tell us what a Sober Grad Night looks like.
Well, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of fun for the kids. This money goes to a large pot. It gets divvied up so West Valley will sell, we hope, at least we have like 217 seniors graduating this year. So we're hoping that each student would get behind one certificate, and that would at least create quite a bit of money for
yes.
our party. But you know, as a promoter of things, it takes a lot of money to put on a really great promotion show. And these kids walk away with wonderful, wonderful gifts. We have a shopping committee that gets to go out and purchase things for these young people to take with them on their next journey in life. And cash prizes. They get to play games. My daughter, 2 years ago, I think Morgan took $480 with her when she left because she was an athlete and she played on every single game night thing that they had at these parties, and her team won and they divvied up money. And so it's a wonderful experience. Absolutely no drugs or drinking is allowed. It's safe and secure. They actually provide police security at each event, and Oasis Fun Center brings go-karts. They have plenty of activities to do. We have local businesses come in, and Dutch Bros comes, and you know, there's lots and lots of people that participate.
So are you saying that when West Valley has their high school grad, does West Valley have a location, or are all the high schools come together for Sober Grad Night at one location?
Wouldn't that be special? Wouldn't that be great? It's not like that. Each high school provides their own venue, their own Sober Grad.
You know, when I graduated from high school just a couple years ago, we went to the YMCA, our whole graduating class, and they had chaperones, and they had all these things to do, bands and the swimming pool and all that, and they didn't let us out. Once we walked in, we were there.
Well, you had a Sober Grad before they started Sober Grad.
Until the next morning, I think at 7 the next morning, they turned us loose. Now, there could have been people that never even showed up and didn't show back till 7 o'clock the next morning, but the rest of us went there, and at 7 o'clock the next morning, because there was food all through the night and everything, it was, anyway, where do we go to buy these
each
certificates?
Now, of course, I'm on the committee for West Valley, so West Valley High School, each high school is separate. They don't participate in this, but any committee person, any senior, if you know any senior, if you have a senior, they will know how to get you a certificate. But if you're wanting to get behind, if you don't have a senior, if you don't even know a senior, I would love if you would call me personally and I will get you a certificate. There's been many, many businesses that have supported us, and it's an awesome opportunity to save young people's lives. And you can get the certificates through any high school. They can get, direct you.
You can just call the high school of your choice and you can buy one. Okay.
West Valley's phone number is 347-7171, and I can give you my personal number, too, and we can get you a certificate and get you in the drawing because you have an opportunity to win, too. So it's twofold. You save lives. You give these students an awesome, awesome party, and then you also are having an opportunity to even put a little money in your pocket.
I think it's great. I'm not so concerned about money in the pocket as it is. If we can, give them something to do, and it is a sober grad night, and that's, you know what, that's a huge success. So we got to take a break here, Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Paula McCarley, and she's talking about sober grad night. I think it's great. We're going to come back to her a little bit about that, but also about success right here in the North State. Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Come back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. They're having a big fundraiser out there today at, what time is that, 1 o'clock?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. They're going to do a fundraiser for a family whose house was burned down. It's going to be in the meeting room right there in 2143 Hilltop Drive, and it's the little girl's first birthday.
Yeah, and the family's living in a hotel right now. I think it's a family of five, and they lost their home in a fire a year ago. So the good folks at Tobacco and Brew are going to be doing a fundraiser, and go by there today at 2 o'clock and just support the family. And they, I mean, it's a very last-minute thing. Shelley just heard about it yesterday and said, let's, you know, we're bringing in a cake. I'm going to do it. So she's putting the word out, and we're putting the word out.
Bring a toy. Bring something. Anyway, we'll be there.
Fun.
2 o'clock. Our guest, Paula McCarley.
That's all right.
We were talking smart grad, and it's a great thing, but, you know, the other thing I was talking
about. Sober grad.
Sober grad. Well, it's a smart grad, too.
If it's
sober, they're sober. It's a smart sober grad. You know, one of the things we were talking about earlier that she was listening to on the way in today was the fact that, you know, all this doom and gloom about all these businesses failing. What about the businesses that are still in the fight? And what about the ones that started? What about the ones that, yeah, it's tough, but we're not going to give up, and we're fighting all the way. And Paula, tell us your...
Well, we're business owners in the North State. And
which business now?
My husband and I have Redding Yamaha Sea-Doo, and we started in 1998, and we have definitely been blessed by wonderful business and opportunities. But we are fighting, and we're succeeding, and we're excited about that success. Success right now is that we're still in business.
that is a mentality. It's an adjustment.
You've had to adjust, but you haven't given up. You haven't rolled over.
Failure is not an option.
That's right. Failure is not an option, and I love to hear that.
Yeah.
And those are the kind of stories we need to hear. Those are the kind of stories that should be on the front page of the Record Searchlight. Those are the kind of stories that we will headline here, I promise you. It's not the ones that have beyond, for circumstances beyond their control, have failed. It's the ones that have fought... The ones that are still here, you know, they're paying their taxes, they're paying their people, and they're still here.
And we like that opportunity to pay our people and be involved in our communities. I mean, we've been to many, many fairs and bought pigs and bought animals
bought
and
pigs.
Supported, you know, we've supported lots and lots of things in our, we've supported Sober Grad. We're behind our community because my husband and I are born and raised here. This is where we live. This is where our kids were raised. So that's why we want to work hard to stay afloat and create jobs and make a living.
You guys have had, at the break, we were talking about how you've had to really make changes. I mean, it's life. You know, you could, let's say for somebody whose father or mother, their parents had a job and then they had to downsize or they had to change locations and then change a philosophy and could have thought this is the way it was. And some people can't get out of the way it was. And now we have to think about what it is and deal with today. And it's ever-changing.
I giggle because the program manager here says, where have you moved to? We're kind of the business that hops around and moves around. But we started in a very small little building up off of I-5 at Oasis. And because of growth and huge success, we move to bigger and better, and now we've moved back to, you know, what we can handle. And we had a store in Red Bluff, which we just sold. We had a store in Woodland that we had to close. But we're still alive and still...
Tell us where you're at.
We're at 1936 Twin View Boulevard,
okay.
And it is Redding Yamaha Sea-Doo. We sell motorcycles, watercraft, we have boats, and we have sales service and accessories, and we you can find us on the web. We have, you know, lots of opportunities still, but we're in the toy business too, and that's been a hard hit in our North State.
Now, when you say toy, I mean, my mind literally went to literal, mm-hmm. and it's like big toys, like, you know,
yeah.
grown-up toys.
Yeah.
So when you say, like, you know, you're...
Sea-Doos and motorcycles.
ATVs. And so, you know, toys are the luxury, and back in the time, which I think we will come around to that again, if we all pull together, we'll, you know... be able to have good times ahead of us. I have to believe that.
Yeah.
I think it's a survival instinct of just saying we are going to be okay. Our country is going to be okay. Yeah. If we think we're going to go to hell in a handbasket, then I think inside it doesn't feel good to have that kind of, you know, philosophy. But it's important to stay astute. And so when you came in today, we didn't know your history,
mm-hmm.
and so when you said that you were listening to the show, we thought, oh, let's hear your story. It's a great story, and it's a story of today. It's
mm-hmm.
now. It's modern times,
mm-hmm.
and we thank you for sharing your business history with us,
and for what you're doing with SoberGrad.
Yes,
you're
absolutely
welcome.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, Casey and I are going to get behind SoberGrad Night. We hope you do too.
Thank you.
Again,
so
how
much.
How do we get in touch with West Valley High, or how can we get in touch with you? Can we come out to Yamaha and get
certificates
there?
Yeah, you can find us at Redding Yamaha. My personal cell is 356-2017. You can reach me there. We do have a website at the high school that has SoberGrad connected, and you can get certificates that way. But anybody, if you have a phone, you can get a hold of us. And again, West Valley's high school number is 347-7171, and we can get you a certificate, and you can participate and get behind SoberGrad. And thank you so much for they've purchased a certificate and got behind SoberGrad for us, and that's awesome. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here. And we're going to when we come back, we've got a panel that's going to be talking about a couple of our veterans going to be talking about a panel that's going to happen next week. This is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding,
Fox News Radio, on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 8:05, January the 18th. Our phone lines here are 530-605-4567, or join our chat room at KCNR1460.com. You can also listen to us that way. Just go to the website, click on air, and that'll start it. You can now listen, and you can chat, as many have. And right now, Bad Bob's under attack, which, frankly, I like that. Linda and I are here. Good morning, honey.
Good morning, and welcome to the program. We have a caller on the line, and we're going to tell you about the weather and talk about some issues that, and I have a panel this morning. It's going to be very interesting, but first let's go to the phones. Good morning, and welcome to the show. You are live.
Larry, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. This is Larry Gasper.
Right.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
I'm the one that has the wood recycling yard down there, South Reading, and also I've started the procedure to get more people involved with what our county our rights are in the county.
Right.
I went to a meeting, board meeting, last Tuesday morning and spoke in front of the supervisors about the situations. But something came to my attention is what I've done is I've been handing out cards about the county, you know, letting people know there is a outlet for people having problems with the county. They've got that number, 245-2000, that I have set up with an attorney. It's kind of, I ran into a couple people last week that were really kind of pretty much at their end of what they can do. The county's been harassing them. And so what I did is I went in Tuesday to speak for myself about my properties and stuff that I'm having problems with, but I thought this was a pretty important situation that I've come across. There are some of these people that I've been running into and that are to their ends, you know, they just don't have any other remedy. They do not know what to do. And these people, I've just, you know, talked to them out in the public when I'm out handing a card out or stuff. I ran into one gentleman, and I actually went to the Board of Supervisors because of this. This gentleman is in the almost ready to lose his house. The house was built back in the 70s, apparently without any permits. His parents did that, or some permits that weren't, you know, they didn't have them. But he's been trying to get these permits straightened out. Come to find out, he's to the point where, and I don't like to, I told this right in front of the county supervisors. I said, this gentleman is so distraught over this, he actually told me that he had no other alternative. If they keep pushing him, he's going to make national news like the people in Arizona did. And I actually spoke and said this in front of the supervisors. And I said, this guy is saying that he's being pushed to the point where he can't do any more. He doesn't have any money right now. And he's willing to start taking up guns. And I said this to them. And I got spoke to by the sheriff department that was there, the head sheriff.
I'm sure they wanted to know the man's name.
Yeah, of course. I don't get these people's names. You know, when I'm out there talking to these people, I hand a card out. You know, they just kind of tell me their stories, you know, and their situations that's going on in the county that they're having problems with the code enforcement gentleman, the county itself, and it's getting, people are getting distressed.
They're getting distressed, Larry. That's true, and they are getting frustrated. And there should be a way that people have a way to redress this via their supervisors. But violence is not the way by any means. I mean that's not even last resort. You know, goes well. This is the last. You know, that's all I've got left. No, it hasn't reached that point yet. And I truly believe it won't reach that point. The thing is that they have to keep bringing this up. That man has to show up to his supervisor and say, "What? This is what you're doing. You're destroying me." That come on the radio station. Come on, go to the paper. Start putting things together and just say, "Look, you are destroying families out here with these regulations."
And that's what I told him. Yeah. I said, "You know, I don't condone this. It's not the way to do it. This is why I am going through the court systems with the county." But I'm just trying to. I'm finding so many people. I'm getting a lot of calls about situations. One thing, I mean, I go to the county and I try to find out what the rules and regulations are constantly. And there's a new one. It just came out that I just realized is in the burning permits. If you want to get a burning permit for something you need to burn, if it's a permitted thing, before they will give you that permit, you have to sign your rights away to be able to go to court with them if there's an issue. They want you to sign your rights away so you have no remedy. If there is a problem down, say if the guy drives by and the county guy says it's a public nuisance because of smoke's out there. If you have a permit, you've already signed your rights away. They want you, this is what's going on, and this is what is happening, what I found out with my permits with the county. I will not sign these permits because I'm not willing to sign my private property rights away.
I understand. We've got other guests here, but I understand that all this stuff is going on. There's a question. Is there a statute of limitations on code enforcement? Like if something was done in 1970 why should you be held responsible for something that's happened back in 1970?
It doesn't matter. If you go and apply for a permit on your property and they pull it up and they have record of what is on your piece of property because they ask you to make a map of what you have on your property, and if you show something on there that the county doesn't have on their records, then you don't have a permit for it. Or if you just go in and say, give them your partial number, they'll look on this map. And this is what people are running into. Not only that, but there's just so much is happening out there that I'm digging into this, finding this stuff out.
Well, I tell you what, we'll set up another day for you to come in. Like I said, we have guests set up for today that you can talk about this. And maybe we need to have a supervisor on. Maybe Les Ball needs to come on or what's his name? Keo.
Yeah.
Get Keo here. I mean, Keo's been a supervisor for a long time. Maybe he needs to address these things.
Well,
things are happening, like you say, and what other people are saying, well, shouldn't we have a county supervisor like Keo, who's been there a long time, address this?
Well, yeah, that's what we need to do. And I try to get the Les Ball to address me on some issues, but they won't talk to me because I'm in the process. I have a claim with the county. And it's not into the legal thing. We have not filed yet in the county.
Yeah. Okay, look, we've got to take a break. We're like 4 minutes past that, but we've got another guest. Give us a call, and we'll set up a time that we can address this thing with the county supervisor.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You bet, Larry. No, we got to keep this up. I mean, this is... driving business out, but it's also hurting our citizens who have been here a long time.
That's
so thanks
right.
a lot for the phone call.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Hey, this is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 8:15 in the morning, January the 18th, 2011, for those who may have misplaced a year. 530-605-4567. And if you go to KCNR1460.com, we stream and you can chat with us, as many of you are doing, and saying cute little things to Bad Bob.
Well, I just have to laugh because I know that I just recently have been writing, oh my gosh, it is the 11th. It's 2011. You know, I just haven't gotten used to writing it on my check. It takes about a month, I think. How about you guys? Currently 53 degrees.
I can't believe that because you've written 142 checks since the beginning
Stop.
Of this month.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Mike's Music, 243-3774. Mike's Music and Sound, home to fabulous musical instruments and great knowledge behind those musical instruments. If you're looking for a guitar, to learn to play guitar, piano, a rehearsal room, go to Mike's Music, and you know, when you get your musical instrument, you'll get the knowledge behind learning how to play the musical instrument. All right, you guys, let's go to our panel this morning. And
well, it's our guests today are Mike Wiley and Jared Lawson. And Mike is a veterans advocate, and Jared actually works for the state, or county, I guess I should say. State,
no,
county?
The state.
Okay, and he is the Regional Collaborative Coordinator of Veterans Service Division, and located out on Gas Point Road, but we see him around here all the time. But what we want to talk about is, well, why don't you tell us what we want to talk about this veterans panel?
Okay, well,
good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Mike.
One of the reasons I wanted to come in this morning was to do what has just happened, and that's to introduce Jared. He's one of the bright hopes that we have in the community. He's been hired under a new program, Operation Welcome Home, and he's able to do an awful lot of things in our community that before we would have to kind of dig around and pull out of our back pockets the resources to do it. So having Jared aboard is a really wonderful addition to what we can offer in the community.
Well, you know, Mike's, you know, that's a nice introduction, and Mike's big in what goes on with our veterans here in the community.
Absolutely.
So there's something we have going on, or something you all have are going to be happening next week, in fact.
Yes, on this Sunday at the Reading Library, there's going to be a veterans panel. And the purpose of this is going to be to talk about reintegration issues for veterans that are coming back in the community. And there's going to be some specific subject matter experts who do different things within the community for our veterans. This is going to take place at 11 o'clock at the Shasta, or at the Reading Library on, oh, excuse me.
2 p.m.
It takes place at 2 p.m. at the Reading Library. That's 1100 Parkview Avenue, Reading, California. And what the people who are going to be on this panel, such as myself, there's the County Veterans Service Officer.
Bob Dunlap.
Bob Dunlap, he's going to be there. There's some folks from the California Department of Employee Development Department. Excuse me. And those folks do great things for our veterans, helping them find jobs and whatnot, especially those folks who are just getting out of service and don't necessarily know which directions to go in. We try to refer people in that direction. In addition to them, we're going to have some veterans advocates from our community, and also somebody from the Social Security Department is actually going to be talking about one of their veterans programs. I'm not sure exactly what they're going to be talking about, but that's interesting as well.
Okay. We need to get back on track here with a break. We come back, I want to discuss this, but I also want to discuss, as we go along, and I don't want this to get in a fist fight, but these new proposed budget cuts that we're hearing come rolling out, you know, from Mr. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And the veterans are right up there at the top, it appears. So, this is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 8:23 in the morning, January the 18th. Phone lines here are 605-4567. If you're calling from out of state, it's 530. Our guests today, Mike Wiley and Jared Lawson, and what we're talking about is a forum on veteran and community reintegration, a public discussion. It's going to be occurring on January 23rd, that's this Sunday,
It's going to be at 2 p.m. and it's going to be at the Reading Library, which is down on Parkview Avenue. The panel discussion will be kicking off a collaborative of veteran service agencies and community members that will meet bi-monthly to talk about reintegration of our veterans as they come back into society. And, you know, the funny thing was, not the funny thing, but the interesting thing about this is, and I'm not plugging it, but, you know, that new blog I started was just for reasons like this, to get that out. 5 million page hits, the Record Searchlight gets. The blogs get lots of attention. Reading.com for Record Searchlight. It's Reading.com. But this is exactly why I wanted to start that, so I could get information like this out. Jared, as the it looks like a great group, Bob Dunlap, Barbara Webb, Kevin Marshall with EDD, those two with EDD, with Operation Welcome Home, Local Veterans Employment, you, of course, with Operation Welcome Home, Mike, an outspoken, strong, a strong advocate for veterans, and also a veteran.
And in this instance, I'm also representing, or hoping to represent, I may not be doing a real good job, the Shasta County Citizens for Democracy.
Right.
And what this is a group of people that have helped us out.
Right. And in fact, Christine was the one that approached us on this. And as you know, we are a community voice here. And we don't draw the line on political opinions when it comes to helping our veterans. Greg Raffa will also be there from AMVETS, mm-hmm. heads up the AMVETS here, the Marisha Hannison, and the moderator, John Ortel. And it's, like I said, it's going to be kicking off a collaborative that will meet bi-monthly.
Yes,
we think that's absolutely great. Jared,
yes, sir.
You're with the Operation Welcome Home, but the regional coordinator. Can you tell me what you do?
Okay, what do I do as a regional coordinator is I try to reach out to our veterans that are coming back and reintegrating into society. So what we do is we actively try to find these folks and make sure that we are linking up with them on a personal level, not just filling out paperwork and just checking the block and seeing what they need, but actually making interactions, finding out what's going on in their lives, what are their family needs, what are their issues, are they getting the things they need, are they aware of all the resources that are out there, because there's a ton of resources, not just the stuff that you get from the VA or what happens at the local level. A lot of our veterans that are getting out of services, and I can attest to this because I just separated recently myself, are not aware of all the resources that are out there or all the directions
you
go.
You're exactly right, not to break it, but I just did. Mike's going to die on us over here on the side here. I just talked to a lady last night and talking about her son. He's been home a couple years. Mm-hmm. He's having a couple problems, and not problems, but, you know, just kind of reintegrating. And I told her about listening to the show today. This is a perfect way for her to get some ways to do it. And this is exactly what you do. This is your job.
Absolutely.
You're a young veteran, mm-hmm. and you can talk to people, you know, and I think it's a great idea, people your age coming back from the wars.
And that's really what we're trying to tone this forum towards that's happening this Sunday. This is an opportunity to do some community awareness and promote awareness within our community, because a lot of folks aren't fully aware of what the differences and changes they should expect with little Johnny when he returns back from service. He's going to be different, particularly if
or Johnny.
Johnny, excuse me.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, that has just come up in the last, a couple of days, allowing women into infantry units. But it's Johnny and Joni. But you're exactly right. I know you're all over that.
Absolutely. I appreciate that, actually. I don't want to single anybody out. But basically, the issue is veterans come back, and there's some changes that happen, particularly if they're combat veterans. They're going to have different interests. They're going to have different ways of relating. It's going to be more difficult for them to relate with family members, friends. It's just not going to be the same. And a lot of that takes time. There's a lot of issues that need to be worked through. A lot of times when veterans get out of service, the last thing that we want to do is we don't want to go talk about the military anymore or have anything to do with the military. So a lot of times going down to the VA and finding out what type of resources are down there is out of the question, because you just don't want to even go down there and deal with those people. Or somebody's already burned that bridge for you by just basically telling you something that wasn't true necessarily. So a lot of this is awareness for family members, because that's where our veterans are actually returning to. When they return from service, they're coming back to our families, our churches, our communities. They're not necessarily coming back to the VA or to the California Department of Veteran Affairs. And a lot of them are falling through the cracks. Here's some interesting statistics.
I know that we're getting ready to go to a break here, okay. So that's why I'm breaking in right now.
Yeah, no worries.
Well, we've got 2 minutes. Anyway, we fill out things when we get out. We all know that. And mm-hmm. that's supposed to be sent up to our local veterans. I think the nearest veterans clinic and or the Shasta County Veterans Service Office.
No, that's not how it works. That would be ideal if it worked that
okay.
way. That would be great because then we'd actually have a way of catching
Because I thought that's what one of the things they were trying to get them to
no,
do.
That's what the disconnect is happening right here. Is veterans that are coming out of services are not necessarily linked up with the services that are there, especially not particularly specific to their their communities. Because the way veteran service organizations operate, we get very much stovepipe where we stay in our lanes and we don't really cross over. So the federal VA takes care of just the federal and the state takes care of the state and so on and so on. So a lot of times veterans come back and they don't even know. I didn't even know I had a county veteran service officer. I went through the 3-day transitional assistance.
Don't feel class. Bad. I didn't know either.
Well, that's a disservice. You know, I'm recently separated military veteran. The only reason I even found out about Operation Welcome Home is I was trying to find resources myself, and that oftentimes is the case where the veterans are having to work so hard to find these resources and not necessarily able to just link up with them and fall right into place. So what we're trying to do is to address that and help build a network with it where that happens.
Especially with our younger veterans.
Yes. Right now we're trying to do that here in California, and that's what this program that I'm working for with the state is, and hopefully this will take off.
Okay, we've got to take a break here. When we come back, of course we back this program 100% as people that know us. But we're in danger with this program, aren't we?
Absolutely.
And I want to talk about that, you know, and when I talked about funding cuts, this is one of the things that we've got to take a good look at. They haven't voted on yet, but it's coming. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. R1460, the home of Free Fire Media, Carl Lindebaugh, 8:35 in the morning, January the 18th, 2011. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. The guys there give great haircuts, great prices. The gents there, they're veterans. They give discounts to veterans. If you're a veteran, just tell them, and they'll give you a discount on your haircut. And they give haircuts. They don't style your hair. They cut your hair. They shave around your ears and your neck. How many other places do that? Well, I tell you what, Cypress Square Barbershop does. And you know what else? While you're sitting there waiting, because there's people there, because everybody likes getting their hair cut there, you get to read the latest in from the NRA and Hot Rod Magazine and those things, and I swear you'll never see Oprah on their TV. That's Man's Last Stronghold right there at Cypress Square Barbershop in the right off Athens Avenue in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Our guest today, Jared Lawson and Mike Wiley. Jared is the Operation Welcome Home Regional Collaborative Coordinator. You know, when I see the word collaborative right there, it scares me. It sounds government. But Jared is also a veteran that wants the best. A question came through here, and it said that can you be a little more clear about disconnects between the different departments, why they're stovepiping?
Okay.
In other words, when somebody gets out.
Absolutely. Well, the reason that there's a lot of stovepiping that occurs is because of the way that the federal system is set up in order to generate the resources down to the veterans. The federal VA. They handle claims and they manage the cemetery system and also the healthcare systems, but the state programs and a lot of the advocates for the veterans actually are at either community level or the state level. Now, every county in California has what's called a county veteran service office, and the county veteran service officers work for the counties, but they're the ones who do the advocating for the veterans, starting claims and stuff like that. Now they don't work; they're not VA employees. They don't work for the VA. They don't work for the California Department of Veteran Affairs. Their only issue is to help veterans in the community and to start these forms. And the way that they're paid is they're actually paid through the federal funding that is filtered down to the states and then down to them for the veterans that they help. And that happens pretty much all across the board. There's a lot of organizations that are out there that provide resources one way or another, but they don't necessarily talk to each other. They're not really crossover communicating all the time. And
now the first point of contact. This is your first point of contact in many cases. Mm-hmm. Is the Shasta County or the County Veteran Service Officer. It's not just Shasta County. There's 52 of them, I believe.
Yes,
about 52 counties. 53, mm-hmm. 58, eight, whatever. There should be two states of California, too, but we won't talk about that. But the so a lot of times the first time people find out about things is they go into the county veteran service office. Definitely. And we've had the luck, we've been fortunate to have the people we've had as a veteran service officer in, you know, in Shasta County, you know, in I think Don Mangrum, is that mm-hmm. right? Then you had Dave Lanford, and now you got Bob Dunlap. All of them proactive guys that fight for veterans.
Yep.
Now, the problem we've got right now under the new budget is programs like yours, the Welcome Home, mm-hmm. which is young veterans talking to other young veterans to bring them back, reintroduce them reintegrate into our community.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you read anything, you'll see that's been a problem. I think that's been a problem since wars have begun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is not just something that just happened in Iraq. You know, the first time that we stepped off, I think you had the same problem coming back. But it's a good program. And in your Shasta County, in this case, the Shasta County Veteran Service Office, under the new budget proposed by Governor Brown,
mm-hmm.
he cuts $12 million out of the veterans programs. Welcome Home goes away, is that correct?
Yes. Operation Welcome Home.
Operation Welcome Home goes away, so that means you go away.
Yes.
What happens to the Veterans Service Office?
The Veterans Service Office.
The County Veterans Service Office.
The County Veterans Service Office would likely still be here. They would probably, and this is all speculation, they'd probably have to do some cutbacks because in addition to the money that they get from the county to run their office, the states are funded. The county offices are funded through the state for the veterans that they serve and for all the community support they do. That additional money that they get for serving veterans is also tabled to possibly go away. So if that happens, then they're going to definitely have some limitations to the amount of people that they can help and maybe the amount of staff they can have. They'll have to cut back. And hopefully it won't come completely to that, where they just cut the funding completely from all the county veteran service offices, because some of these smaller counties probably would not be able to sustain themselves.
Okay, let's just make it real clear, is that under the proposed budget, which has been sent to me and the parts on the veterans, and I'm researching this more,
mm-hmm.
I saw $12 million being cut from the budget for the veterans. Is what you understand, Mike? Okay. And that means that operations or programs like Operation Welcome Home, first of all, they just go away. And then the county veteran service officers could be curtailed, and in some cases shut down. So I don't see why Operation Welcome Home should be shut down while you've got Operation Welcome Across the Border still running. So if you know what I mean, where we're still funding illegals coming across the border, why we're not funding veterans programs? And again, this budget has not passed. But
Another question might be, how can we continue to send our young people overseas to put them in these conflicts and not be willing to take care of them when we bring them home?
You know, and that's something else. If we're going to fight a war, and I'm talking about all wars. I'm not talking about this one. We're talking about all wars. If you're not willing to take care of them after they put their lives on the line, after they've suffered who knows what kind of horrors in war, and everybody that's been in war understands that, why aren't we willing to pony up and take care of them, and they're on the chopping block before, while other programs are not. Got to take a break. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bot, 8:43 in the morning, January the 18th. This portion of the show is brought to you by BNT Satellite. We're talking about veterans, and that's Doug Tooley, who owns BNT Satellite. His phone number is 244-1988. He's just moved. His new location is 1345 Liberty Street. He puts in Dish Satellite. He does a great job. He guarantees his work. He's been in business since 1985, except for that time in the 82nd Airborne. We use him at our house, and we've had nothing but, you know, great service. BNT Satellite, Doug Tooley, 244-1988. Give him a call. Our guests are Mike Wiley, veterans advocate, and Jared Lawson, who is a Operation Welcome Home regional coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And now we want to go back, gents. And Jared, you want to go back again to make sure that people understand about the reintegration process.
Okay. Basically, I wanted to talk more about the disconnect and how this happens. I don't want to go into too much detail, but basically, here's the deal. So when soldiers are getting out of service, what we're getting as far as reintegration for reintegration training a lot of times is before we get out, we get a three-day workshop called Transition Assistance Program, where we learn about job hunting skills and filling out resumes and a couple other things. And it's great information. And the Department of Defense touts that as the save-all and the guarantee of making sure our soldiers come out of service with the skills that they need. It's good. I'm not saying that it's bad, but it's not enough. And I can attest to this personally because I've went through it. And also, it's not streamlined where it's all the same across the board. Every installation has the opportunity to run it their way, and every department within the Department of Defense has a different type of program. So you're not going to get the same information every single place that you go. Some places are going to be better than others. But the issue with that is that, one, it only talks for the most part about VA and the major resources that are out there. If there's any additional state resources or community level resources, you're not going to get that information. And that's I can personally attest over half the stuff that's out there is stuff that you're going to find at the community level, where there's
a lot of times they don't know. And they will say they may say that.
Absolutely.
And you're absolutely right about different levels.
Mm-hmm.
You can be at the same base in a different unit and get a completely different as you're leaving, it's completely different than it is for another unit, and I just realized that when you were talking about
exactly. But the information's good. But here's the thing: we can do it up to a year out before we get out of service. These soldiers are allowed to start doing this. So when I was sitting in the class, a lot of soldiers are sitting there. They're there for their 3 days. They're a year out from service. They're just happy that they're not freaking filling sandbags or digging foxholes at the time. A lot of times they're just sitting there, just getting the information, not really regurgitating, getting all of it. It's not all sinking in. So sometimes those soldiers will get out and they don't.
It's like a fire hose too. There's a lot of stuff. First time I got out.
Yeah.
They kept talking about. I was a lieutenant colonel,
mm-hmm.
and they kept talking. We had a 5-day TAP,
mm-hmm.
Transition Assistance Program. Went on for 5 days, and it was like, okay. And, I don't know how much of that sunk in with me. It wasn't a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many other people, if you hear it for 3 or 4 days and you're 3 or 4 months out, what it does. But let's go to the phones here. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Carl, Linda, and Jared. Hey, Jared, this is Mike. It's been a pleasure living next door to you, too, brother. Hey, man, I got a quick question for either Jared or the other gentleman there. What's available for the veterans that have the Desert Storm guys, the Vietnam guys that have been through the claims process and have been repeatedly denied and have to refile and appeal and this and that for things that I know is, in my own personal case, is something that's service-connected, but yet, the boards and panels have deemed it otherwise. And, again, appreciate it being your neighbor, and I'm going to miss you, and I'll take any comments off the air. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike, for your phone call.
Okay, there's a lot. The VA process is a painful process, and I'm sure a lot of you guys can attest to that. When they deny claims, they deny them based on the medical information that they have and some system of service connected. That's a really important piece, is establishing the service connected a piece of it. If you have issues with filing claims, there's advocates here in the region that can help you with that. Not just the county veteran service offices. Here in a month, I'm also going to be certified to start processing claims, so I'll have more information to help people out with that. Also, there's some of the veteran advocacy groups have service representatives.
AMVETS, I know, AMVETS, American Legion.
Yeah, all those folks.
And Mike, here's the thing is, you're absolutely right. It's a bureaucratic, bureaucratic maze at times.
It really is.
And things that work through, but you don't, if they come back and say, we don't agree with this, you don't have this, you have the right to go back and fight that.
Absolutely.
I know that's what you're getting at here, is that don't accept it.
Yeah.
Find an advocate.
Exactly. Find an advocate. Find somebody who's going to work for you. Because if you're working directly with the VA, you're going to be pounding your head into the desk over and over and over again, because you're not really going to get all that far. And a lot of these veteran advocates have the information. They work with the VA, and you also got to understand that when you go talk to the county veteran service offices or talk to some of these veteran advocates, you're talking to people who do not work for the VA per se. The county veterans service offices, their job is to take care of the veterans in their community, and I know that they do a good job of that, and that they're passionate about it. They're going to take care of you. In addition to that, these other folks are going to do the same.
That's right. So, for the people that are listening out there, especially the lady I talked to yesterday, Jennifer, You want to go to meet somebody like Jared and Moa and
Sunday
also,
at 2 o'clock at the Reading Library. It's the
it's
veteran
a perfect place.
Community reintegration. It's a forum for the veterans and community members. You are invited Sunday, 2 o'clock p.m. for this panel of experts on what and where and how and lots of answers can be directly answered.
Yeah, and you know the other thing too is that you know if it's your family that's having problems.
Yes.
And they may not want to go to this.
Yes.
You need to go to this. Parents, brothers, sisters, children, you need to go in there and to find out the information so you can take it to your loved one.
Certainly.
That is so many times that maybe the veteran, it just, you know what, I just want to just take a step away from this. And his family realizes he needs to reintegrate into our community. This is a good way to go. They go to this meeting. Mm-hmm. They can find out. They can put them in touch because you need, you know, Mike, who is a Vietnam veteran, and myself, and I've been, you know, veteran of several wars. We're older, mm-hmm. and we can act as mentors. We can act as a clearinghouse. But when it gets right down to it, talking to people your own age, talking to other people who have reintegrated into the community is what's going to happen. We got to take a break. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460 at home of Free Fire Media.
Back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:54 in the morning, January 18th. Our last segment here, we've had our guests have been Jared Lawson, from coordinator for the Welcome Home Project. That's maybe in danger, according to the new budget. And then Mike Wiley, a local, well-known veterans advocate. And we're talking about a forum on veteran and community reintegration that's going to occur this Sunday, January 23rd at 2 p.m. at the Reading Library. And this panel discussion will be kicking off a collaborative of veteran service agencies and community members that will meet bimonthly. And we're going to publish this in our blog in the Record Searchlight, reading.com. We'll also put it in on our website, too. But the panelists, you all need to know who's going to be there besides Jared and Mike. It's going to be Bob Dunlap, the Shasta County Veteran Service Officer, Barbara Webb, and Kevin Marshall from EDD. And they're the local Veterans Employment and Operation Welcome Home. Greg Raffa, AMVETS, and a veterans advocate, and the moderator will be John Ortel. This is something that's going to continue.
Oh, okay, yes.
This is Jared.
This is going to lead into our collaborative efforts that we're trying to start here within the Shasta County. And the purpose of the collaborative, which is going to meet bimonthly on the first Saturday of the month at the Shasta County Veterans Hall, the purpose of this is to bring together a lot of these community organizations and a lot of our veteran support community in order to have them sit down and kind of bring a melding of the minds so that we can break down this stovepiping and build a better network to capture our veterans as they're coming back into our communities, to find out if one service doesn't have the services that a veteran needs, perhaps another service does. If these organizations are talking to each other more, then we can build a better network where we can address issues, identify issues, and build a better network to support our veterans across our community. And this is something that's not just happening here in Shasta County. This is something that's building across the state. There's a lot of these collaboratives that are already happening, and they are working. We're seeing success stories coming out of these organizations because it's breaking down this stovepiping issue that I was talking about, where all the organizations don't necessarily talk to each other. It's a tragedy for me to have veterans come up to me and say, "Hey, Jared, my issues are jobs. I'm trying to find jobs and blah blah blah. This stuff in the community, and these are other things that were going on." And then I have on the other end, I have service organization representatives say, "Hey, I'm with this organization. My job is to find veterans who need jobs. I have all these jobs, and I can't find any veterans." Well, there's another disconnect right there. That's something that's just a tragedy within the community.
Thank you so much.
Well, Jared, some of the questions, I just wanted to address some of the questions here.
We're going to have that panel on Sunday at 2, too, to get up close and personal.
Mm-hmm. They want to know is how they can get involved.
How you can get involved. Come to the panel. Get some of this information. Talk with other members of the community. There's lots of opportunities to volunteer. We have a great volunteering network already happening within our community. There's lots of events that happen across the board where you can get involved with. And not only that, but come to the collaboratives. The collaboratives are a great opportunity for us to network, to talk about issues, to identify issues that are in our community, to identify veterans who possibly may be in need of help, that because there's already people out there trying to help, trying to do something. We just need to be able to come together and network this.
And I agree with you, Carl, that collaborative is a clumsy word,
yeah.
But it's a group of people coming together. That's our community.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking. And somebody asked, or Linda and I are going to be a member of this. Well, yeah, collaborative is a we will give it as much press as we possibly can, anything we can do to help, because we started the show back in 07 for veterans. And that's what's, that's our horse.
We're not looking for membership of the collaborative.
Right.
What we're looking to provide is a continuing forum where Jared's neighbor can come and ask questions. Where
parents can come.
Exactly. Where the attorney that has the answers for the guy that has gone through all that process of trying to get his claim approved by the VA and has not been approved.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. We're going to talk about it later on. I'm going to put it in a blog. It's going to be Sunday, January 23rd, 2 o'clock at the Reading Library. Jared Lawson, Mike Wiley, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
You bet.
We just are going to be closing up this show today and wanted to talk to you about a couple of special announcements that we wanted to make before we left. Thursday night show, we have if many of you have inquired about On the Spot with Linda Bott, that is a jingle that was written by James Gabriel. He'll be a special guest. We also have the gals from the Women's Forum coming on, talking about what's happening with the Women's Forum. What is Women's Forum? I know many of you want to know about the Women's Forum, and it's an incredible program that has been launched this year. Also, I'll just start at the top of the morning. John, you sent a wonderful email, and we're going to talk about a production that's happening. And, of course, we're very supportive of the community and all things that are going on. Don't forget, again, the veterans panel on Sunday at the library at 2.
And our guest tomorrow will be Sheriff Tom Basenko. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You've been listening to KCNR Shasta, Reading.